KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have cloudy skies. It's breezy, and it's 30 degrees. We look for light snow developing this morning. A high today only around 32, with winds north at 10 to 15. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with a check of KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In area news, Red Oak Police responded at around 7:30 p.m. Tuesday to a reported domestic assault that allegedly took place in the 2400 block of North 8th Street. When officers arrived, they were told the male party involved in the incident, 44-year-old Jason Beecham of Red Oak, had left the area on foot. After a perimeter was set up, officers made contact with Beecham nearly an hour later. He was arrested for domestic abuse assault by impeding air and or blood flow, an aggravated misdemeanor, and a Class D felony charge of domestic abuse assault, third or subsequent offense. Beecham was being held in Montgomery County Jail without bond. Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies, Montgomery County Emergency Management Agency, and their drone were all utilized in the search for Beecham. Police in Creston say a woman was injured during a collision that took place at around 12:50 p.m. Tuesday. Authorities say a 2016 VW Tiguan SUV, driven by 61-year-old Mark Miller of Winterset, was traveling west in the left lane of Highway 34, when a 2007 Chevy Malibu, driven by 84-year-old Donna Thaden of Creston, pulled out of a private driveway and turned right to head west on Highway 34. When Thaden turned to the outside lane, her vehicle was hit on the left front side by the SUV, causing the airbags on the Chevy to be deployed. Thaden was extricated from her vehicle and transported by ambulance to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston. Damage from the accident amounted to $1,800. There were no citations issued. City officials in Council Bluffs are sending notice of a property buyout program to residents affected by this year's Missouri River flooding. Many residents in the affected area have asked the city about assistance. City officials sent letters recently highlighting the buyout program spearheaded by Pottawatomie County Emergency Management. Property owners can submit a form online to indicate their interest in a potential buyout without committing to a sale. Officials say it's a way to gauge interest in the program and the amount of funding that may be required. The affected area is west of Interstate 29 and neighborhoods north and south of Interstate 480 near the River's Edge Park and Dodge Riverside Golf Course. Well, due to the pending winter weather, the reopening lanes on U.S. Highway 34 has been postponed. The Iowa Department of Transportation hopes to reopen the eastbound lanes of U.S. 34 near Pacific Junction later this week, weather permitting. They had hoped to do so yesterday. And the outside lane of U.S. Highway 34 will remain closed for about a mile east of the Missouri River to allow a federal contractor to make repairs to levees in the area. When the lanes reopen, the head-to-head traffic patterns and 45-mile-per-hour speed limits that were put in place due to the area flooding will be removed, allowing traffic to return to the normal 65-mile-per-hour speed limit. The traffic signal at 188th Street will continue to flash red to function as an always stop. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said Tuesday that with the chance of accumulating snowfall to occur on Wednesday today, the Clarinda Police Department wants to remind citizens of the Clarinda about the snow ordinance. That ordinance says no person shall park any motor vehicle or other apparatus upon any street of the city that will obstruct the removal of snow when there has been an accumulation of 2 inches or more. Any vehicle left parked on the street in violation of the ordinance may be impounded, and the registered owner of the vehicle subject to a $30 parking fine, along with payment of all applicable towing and storage fees before their vehicle is released. The parking ban will remain in effect until the snow ceases to fall and the streets have been plowed from curb to curb. Well, the Waukee Fire and Police Departments have confirmed they were called out Sunday at 5:34 p.m. to an address in rural Dallas County on the report of an explosion that was part of a gender reveal announcement. Waukee Fire Captain Tommy Tisdall said the explosion came from a shell shot out of a rifle.
The device that was purchased was actually a gender reveal kit, so it has the colored powder in it, and when it's shot with a gun, it explodes and there's a cloud of whatever color it was.
Tisdall said there were no injuries or damage on the property.
Went exactly as it's designed to be used. We were notified of an explosion, not knowing the origin. We responded. It was actually not in the city of Waukee. It was just outside the corporate limits, which means it was in an unincorporated Dallas County, which made it totally legal to use.
Tisdall said the people who conducted the reveal took the right steps. It was just the noise that generated the call.
I think it was a little bit louder than they had anticipated. They had taken precautions and talked to a couple of the neighbors ahead of time and let them know what was going on. They were having a gender reveal party there on their land. So they took the time to talk to their neighbors. They were very apologetic when we arrived. I think they underestimated how loud it was going to be.
And he said it's important with any explosive type devices that you be very careful.
And anytime you're using any type of commercially made product, using it to manufacturer's recommendations is obviously the key.
The call got a little more attention because of a fatal gender reveal Saturday in Marion County when a homemade device exploded at a residence in rural Knoxville and a piece of flying debris hit 56-year-old Pamela Kreimeyer, who was a mother and grandmother, gathered with other family members to reveal the reveal, and she died after being hit by that shrapnel. In the funeral announcements, Mardell Stewart, age 94, of Brooklyn Heights, New York, and formerly of Audubon, died October 22nd. Funeral services for Mardell Stewart will be today at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Richard Chris Jorgensen, age 70, of Council Bluffs, died Saturday at the VA Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Richard Jorgensen will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Robert Garner, age 76, of Atlantic, died Thursday. A celebration of life memorial service for Robert Garner will be this Saturday at 10 o'clock at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Chet Cooper, age 83, of Dexter, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Chet Cooper will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. John McFarland, age 62, of Greenfield, died October 24th. A celebration of life gathering for John McFarland will be Saturday from 2 until 5 p.m. at the Hotel Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Jack Pickham, age 70, of Avoca, died Sunday. A celebration of life for Jack Pickham will be next Monday at 10 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And Alberto Becker, age 93, of Cumberland, died October 23rd. A celebration of life funeral service for Alberto Becker will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.